All right. What I want you to do is, can people just give me some reasons why we should worship God? Like anything at all. Just call out. Don't bother even. Yeah, go on. He's cool. That's a good one. All right. So, yeah, we got living. We got cool. Anything else? He's worth it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. Hang on. Wait. Okay, Father, I'm liking that. Helps. Yes, that's a good one. All right. Anything else? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, do it.
He speaks to us.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that'll do. That'll do. Right. Okay, that's going a bit Buddhist there, but, you know, we'll leave that. Anyway, so yeah, no, all these things are fantastic things that can praise God. And what I want to kind of show is how God, there's kind of like, well, there's not just three ways in which he can be praised. There's so many different ways. But I want to point out some things here. Is that, first of all, he's a creator. So we've got, he made us, made chocolate. It's a good thing. So first of all, God is a creator. Everything around us we see is kind of almost hard to imagine because we live in this world. We can't imagine there being nothing. But the thing is, God literally made something out of nothing. Genesis 1:1 said, so God said, let there be light, and there was light. I mean, and that's just like a kind of sentence that we gloss over. But when you think about it, how someone can say, let there be light, and there is light, and there is stuff, is incredible. Just how he could create all the animals, you know, this whole world, just by saying it. You know what I mean? If you think about yourself sometimes, I don't know if you do this, but when you think how you can see, so I'm just a very strange person, but I just look around and I think, you know, how amazing is it that I can see things that, yeah, I can see Nathan here and I can see you guys. It's quite amazing. So God created us, and that is a pretty amazing thing, really. God is also the king. And I think we might have got some, yeah, not really. But anyway, no, he's the king, yeah? He rules over everyone. He rules over the president. He rules over the prime minister. And his authority is absolute. Nothing we do escapes his notice. He sees everything we do. He has the right to judge people. He has the right to say what happens to them because he's God, you know? And you can't really argue with God. You can say, oh, God, that's not fair. And then he'll go, oh. You know, he's got the ultimate say in things. He has the authority. He is the king. And yet, he has the power, exactly. And finally, God rescues us. God is compassionate. God is loving. And that's why he sent Jesus. Because although our sin separates from us from God, he sent Jesus to take our punishment that we should get so we could be with God. So God is loving. He wants to heal people. He still heals people. He wants to heal them. Not only physically, but also emotionally, and the things that have happened in our lives. And that, I mean, you know, that's just a kind of description of God that's not worth much. Sometimes I think you can't really describe God with words enough. That's barely scratching the surface of who he is. And I think none of us could ever understand fully who God is. But actually, just the little we do know, there's so much worth praising him for. There's so much worth praising God for creating us, for making this amazing world, for just being the king. He demands worship, you know, and also for forgiving us and for healing us. There's so much to go on there to say thank you to God for, which is brilliant. What I want to do is read the kind of main, I don't know, scripture for today is Luke 7:25. And so just listen up. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then a woman of the village, the town prostitute, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them and anointed them with the perfume. So what we've got here, we've got a woman who's a prostitute, so she's selling her body for sex. And so generally, she's lived a life of sin. However, she knows that Jesus has come to take that sin away, so that sin is no longer making her unclean. It's no longer cutting her off from God. And because of that, she's so thankful. I mean, you know, wouldn't you be if Jesus had done this for you? So what she does is she gets a really expensive bottle of perfume. Think of Chanel No. 5 or something. You know, I'm not a woman, so I wouldn't know these things. But, you know, 50 quid bottle of perfume. She comes in, smashes it open, just pours it all over his feet. And now, for us, we might say that's a ridiculous waste of money. How can you just pour a whole bottle of perfume over someone's feet? But it's this kind of ridiculous worship that just shows how much she's thankful to God, and how much, you know, how much she's thankful to him, really. Sorry. But anyway, but that's really what our attitude should be, because Jesus has done exactly the same for each of us. He's forgiven our sins, you know, the same way that he forgave the prostitute sins, he's forgiven ours. So we should be able to worship him in the same way. What we're going to do is we're going to do some, like, little activities or whatever you want to call it that just explore the idea of worship. Before we start, I'd just like to put this idea into our heads that worship is not just about singing songs. Often we think it is like singing the hymns or songs at church or whatever. But what I want to say is our whole lives are worship. Whoever we are, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, actually, we're always worshipping. We're either worshipping ourselves, other people, things. We're always thinking, you know, I'm amazing, or we're worshipping a celebrity. That's the stereotypical thing, but, you know, it's true. Or that, or material goods and stuff. We're either worshipping that, or we're worshipping God. We're worshipping him and saying we want to go his way. So hopefully, for all these things we do, I'm just going to expand your mind as to what worship is and how our whole lives are worship, and it's not just singing songs. So yeah, probably one of the best ways, but we will kind of start around the idea of songs. And where's that sheet? Here we go. We will kind of like start by thinking about songs, because they're the way we most often worship at church. And yes, singing, worship, it's all worship. It's saying to God, you're amazing. It's thanking him for all these things. But what I want to say is it means nothing if the words we're singing aren't coming from our heart, if they're not actually saying anything. You know, sometimes I kind of stand in chapel and, like, we're singing the hymns, and I think, you know, fantastic words in the hymns, like, brilliant words about how Jesus has saved us and how God, you know, wants us to be with him. Brilliant words, but sometimes I think, do people mean it? For most people, actually, is it just singing? You know, they're just lovely songs to sing with nice melodies, and it's not about God. So I think this is a really important thing. When we go to church, and in any type of church, not just singing hymns, in more modern churches or whatever, where you've got songs, sometimes it can just be about singing and not about saying to God, thank you for all the things you've done for me. A really great place to find honest worship is in the Psalms. These are like kind of poems and songs, a whole book in the Bible. A lot of them were written by King David. And these are so honest, you know, you never get the sense he's just saying something that he doesn't mean. It's some great stuff. So, for instance, you've got, like, praise songs, you've got, you know, really giving God all the praise he deserves, like this one, Psalm 113. Hallelujah, you who serve Yahweh is the Hebrew word for God, you who serve Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember Yahweh is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to Yahweh. Yahweh is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with Yahweh, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying his magnificent heavens and earth? He picks up the poor out of the dirt, rescues the wretched who've been thrown into the rubbish, seats them among the honoured guests, a place of honour among the brightest and best. He gives childless couples a family, gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. So it's great, because we've got a really fantastic psalm there, telling God just how amazing he is, and you just get the sense that David's really into this, and he's giving it everything. But then you've got psalms where David's being honest. He's feeling rubbish, and many times in his life. He had like a whole army chasing after him, trying to kill him. So, and many times he's really honest with God. Listen to this and just hear how it differs. Psalm 13. Long enough, Yahweh, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, Yahweh, my God. I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. So that's brilliant, because you've got David saying to God, yeah, things aren't very good. In fact, things are really bad. But he's kind of trusting in God anyway at the end of that. So really, yeah, worship, whether we're singing songs, whether we're talking to God, it's got to be honest. If we're not being honest with God, if we don't truly mean the things we say, then it doesn't really mean much.